hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Good evening. Great to be with you tonight. I want to start off tonight by posing a bit of a scenario to you to think about. Let's say you were throwing a big party over at your house. You invited kind of your important friends and maybe a couple of family members. And yeah, it was just a great celebration. And the reason you were throwing this party is you knew Jesus was available to come and join you in that party or join your guests. And you thought, this is going to be so cool. I'm going to invite Jesus over and he's going to answer all their questions and yeah, just impart wisdom. It's going to be fantastic. But the word gets out on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and people that you go to uni with or whatever you hang out with who aren't Christians, and you're probably a little bit embarrassed about them coming along to a party where Jesus would be there as well. They all find out about it and show up as well. And then you're going, oh, this is getting a little bit awkward. I wonder what's going to happen next. Well, this very scenario happens to a guy called Simon. And Simon's a very religious person, and he wanted his friends and family to get to know Jesus, and he wanted to get to know Jesus a bit more. So he invites Jesus over to his house. But while Jesus is there, some other people just kind of join in the party. Now, if you're kind of wondering how that came about, or the context of, well, how could people just come along who are uninvited? Well, in the ancient world, most of the large gatherings in a house happened in the courtyard. It was warm enough, most evenings were warm enough to have a big rug laid out, some cushions around, a low table put out in the center of that rug with food and wine and things like that on it. And so you would recline on one elbow on the cushion and then reach forward and just take nibbles and drinks off the table and just share together. That was kind of what you did for dinner. The consequence of this, though, is that your feet are facing outwards. Everyone's leaning into the center, so as you're lying there, your feet are facing outwards. And so other people seeing a gathering is happening often will just drift in off the street into that courtyard area, and often the guest of the house would go up and greet them and say, yes, you can stay. Or if they're a bit more relaxed, they just let any person just hang around the outside of the group. Those people obviously weren't eating and drinking and talking and being part of the central party, but they were there just listening on. And that's exactly what happened. So let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought her an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When this Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner, most likely a prostitute. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which one of them loved him more? Simon replied, I suppose who had the one who had the bigger debt. Cancelled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who can even forgive sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, why does Luke include this account of Jesus at a party at Simon's house with a woman who comes along? And like, why is that in here? Why is it in the gospel? There must be something that he wants us to learn from this account. And there is much to learn from this account. Luke is contrasting two types of people who encounter Jesus. And he contrasts Simon and the prostitute, who have two very different reactions to Jesus. Actually, the complete opposite reactions to Jesus. Their experience of how they encountered Jesus depended very much on their heart, on their openness to receive what Jesus had for them. Now, the irony is that Simon is the one that's kind of pretty self-sufficient. He's not seeing his need for Jesus. He's going, look, I've got life pretty much together. I'm a religious person. I go to church regularly. I live a good life. Nothing wrong with me. I'm pretty cool. I just want to add Jesus to my life, or I just want to get some pearls of wisdom from him. Whereas Simon is contrasted to this prostitute who realizes that she's a sinner. Every day of her life, everyone in society is telling her how sinful she is and how disgraceful her occupation and is her whole choice of lifestyle is. So she knows that she needs grace. She knows that she needs forgiveness and the love of God. And so she comes hoping for that, expecting that, willing to give her whole self to receive that. Not self-sufficient in any way, but humble. And so we have this contrast of two very different people. And what does that show us? Well, it shows us a few things that we can explore tonight. The first is this. We all need to realize how much we need God. The irony in this situation is that the prostitute realized her need for God, but Simon needed Jesus just as much. In all his arrogance, in all his knowledge, in all his faithful duty and social connections and money and everything that he had, he didn't actually have what really matters. And we can have all the knowledge in the world. You may have grown up in church and know all about Jesus and have all the answers, but have you experienced him? We all need to receive God's love and grace. I was one of those people. I grew up in church and in a church that taught the Bible very accurately and emphasized it a lot, and it was an important thing in my household. My dad would over dinner open the Bible and share a scripture with us, and we'd pray together. So I had a very religious upbringing. The issue was that by the time I was in my late teen years, I had a lot of head knowledge. I understood what the Bible says. I could have quoted you scriptures. I could tell you all about, you know, the stories of the Bible and how the Bible all fitted together, and pretty much the theology of the Bible as well. I knew it all in my head, a bit like Simon. But I hadn't experienced God's grace in my heart. It hadn't changed me. Because in my self-sufficiency, I thought to myself, now looking back, I've got this. I've got this worked out. Yeah, God loves me and I'm cool. Me and God are cool. Like, yeah, it's all good. What I didn't realize is that I needed to humble myself. We don't receive from God without humility. We need to come to God and admit that we need Him. Doesn't matter how much we know, doesn't matter how good we think we are, we all need grace. And that revelation didn't come to me until my later teenage years, where I sat under a series of teaching on grace, and I got the revelation that I was just as much in need of God's grace as anyone else. And when I opened my heart to God and admitted that I needed Him, suddenly grace flooded my soul, flooded my whole being, and completely transformed my life. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you're going to stay in your self-sufficiency and the arrogance of what you know, you'll never encounter God, because God actually opposes people like that. But He gives grace to the humble. In verse 50 of this passage that we've just read, Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This was absolutely life-changing encounter that this prostitute has with Jesus. The receiving of that amount of grace for someone like her was just so transformative. It would have freed her from all that guilt and all that shame, that Jesus, this respected teacher, there's something about Him, there's something godly about Him. If He can forgive her, then maybe she can forgive herself. Simon probably didn't even see it. He probably, when the prostitute left, he was probably like, "Man, what was that story about? What's even going on there?" He just didn't twig at all. Which leads us to the second point. An experience of God's grace is life transforming. It changes us. Like we see in this account, this woman was changed. She received forgiveness from God. Her shame was taken away. Her guilt was taken away. Something that she would have carried with her every moment of every day, and people would have reminded her of how sinful she was and how unclean she was and how unaccepted that she was. And yet here was a rabbi. Here was someone who had come from God, who released forgiveness to her. And that grace transformed her heart. And it probably changed her life to such an extent. We don't know. We don't know what happened to this woman when she left. But given the other encounters that people like her had with Jesus, they completely changed their lifestyles. They became ministers of that grace. They shared that grace with others, and as they did, it transformed other people's lives. Now what Luke's doing here is he's setting up a contrast between Simon and his self-sufficiency and his religious arrogance, who doesn't see his need for God, doesn't get any of this. You know, like after this party, Simon's probably going, "Well, I don't know what all the fuss is about. Yeah, Jesus challenged me with this story and didn't really get it. I suppose this guy was forgiven more, but I don't know what the point of it was." Well, the point of it was, Simon, you needed this grace, but you didn't receive it. This woman also needed grace. She received it and was changed. Where are you at today? Are you a person like Simon, who doesn't see his need for grace, and because you don't see the need, or you think, got it sorted, worked it all out of my head, that you're missing out? Or are you going to humble yourself and receive a grace that will transform your life? And as you do this and take that grace into the world around you, it will be effective in ministering God's life to others. I'm sure that this prostitute would have had friends and connections that, as she shared the message of Jesus with them and the transformation that happened in her life, it would have changed them as well. Because God's life isn't just for us to hold on to, it's for us to share. In my experience in observing people who share God's life with others, it seems to be that it's most powerful when we've experienced something of God, not just what we know about God. Like, that's certainly the case for me. When I humbled myself and realized I needed God's grace, that I was actually just as lost as anyone else was. I needed to receive grace and open my heart to that. His grace and his love poured into my life like beyond what I could imagine. And because it so changed the way I thought about myself, the way I thought about the world around me, the way I thought about God, everything, how everything changed, and how I literally felt different. Not just thought differently, I felt differently. It gave me a confidence to share that life and want to share that life with others. And over the years have prayed for many people to receive God's grace, many people to receive God's love, and they have. But I think God's anointed me to share that grace because I've received that grace. But not just received it in my head, but in my heart. So think about this tonight. What have you experienced of God? What experience have you had of God that has really changed who you are? Changed your heart? Because God will use that. God will use that experience. God will use that knowledge, that experiential knowledge, to impart his life through you to others. So why does Luke include this account or this encounter that Jesus has with the woman at a party at Simon's house? Well, we have it in our scriptures because it points out a very clear truth by setting up a contrast between two very different people. One person who thought he knew Jesus but didn't really know Jesus at all, and probably didn't even really know himself. And another person who encounters the real Jesus for who he really is. And it reveals who she is. And as it does, it transforms her life. It's setting up a contrast and showing that we all need God's grace. Doesn't matter how much you know or don't know, you still need to experience God's grace. It also shows us that when we do experience that grace, it will completely transform our lives. And lastly, that when we've received it, we'll have something to share with the world around us. So can I pray for you today? And here's my prayer. My prayer will be that you understand your need for God's grace. That grace will transform you. And that you'll be empowered to take that grace to the world around you. Let's pray. Lord God, you are so gracious. You are so loving. You are so powerful. You are so truthful. In all of those attributes that we encounter when we see you for who you are, change us. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in every person's heart tonight, revealing where we haven't humbled ourselves before you. Lord, where we've, in our arrogance, thought, hey, we've got this all together, I've got this sorted, I know it. But we actually admit to you tonight that, hey, we haven't got it all together, I don't know it, I still need to know more. And as we realize our need for your grace and humbly come and ask for your grace and your love to pour into our lives, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would pour in that grace right now to everyone listening to this. May they receive an abundance of your grace, a revelation of that grace, and how powerful and life-changing it is. Lord, pour in that grace right now, I pray. calm and just let people receive more of that. And as they do, as they experience your grace, as they experience your love, Lord, empower them, empower us to be bearers of that grace. As we pray for others, as we share with others, may life come and flood into other people's lives. May our transformation become community transformation. May you use us to bring your kingdom to the world around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. Hey, so we're going to sing a final song where we focus on Jesus for who he is and how worthy he is and how he changes us and how we can then take that life into the world around us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.